Well, we were talking about Jonah, and kind of excited about this because just to recap a little bit, last week, we kind of took this jewel and just gave it a little bit of a turn, and we're looking at it. There's a great doctrine here about the resurrection of the dead. We're going to get to that today. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. But I want you to see something before I start in Matthew 12, because so that when it comes up, it won't like surprise you, because we know as we finish Jonah in third and fourth chapters, Jonah had attitude. So, and we're going to see that, you know, when we get there, but he's not the only one that had attitude. Sometimes we have attitude. And sometimes we need help from the Word of God. Remember, the inspiration for this came out of the beginnings of the study of Psalm 119, which is basically about the Word of God. It's about following His instruction, His pathway, His Word, that it's sown into our hearts, that it springs up on the inside of us, and we recall it to mind. We recall it to heart. It bears fruit in our life. This amazing thing about it is when we start to look in Matthew 12, which I really feel, and this is just my impression, when I read Matthew 12, I'm kind of seeing Jesus is trying to impart some truth to them about Jonah's attitude. So let's take a look at it. It got Jonah into some trouble. And we'll recap that a little more, but let's first get to Matthew 12 as soon as my pad behaves itself. At this time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples became hungry. Now, you all know that Jesus never broke the law of God. He'd never steal. He would never take someone's grain and steal. You can't, like, look what Jesus did. You know, provided in the law of God, you're allowed to glean the fields. They weren't supposed to cut to the edges of the fields so that there would be food there for the poor. I think that that's what these guys were doing. But that's just, I'll submit that to you for your thought. Because Jesus wouldn't steal from people. He wouldn't do that. They became hungry. They were picking the grains. I never had that thought before. That's why I thought I'd bring that out. It didn't occur to me that, that the person that doesn't understand the Word of God would point their finger at me. I see in here Jesus stole from somebody. No, he didn't. So they picked the heads. They're rubbing them in their hands. They were eating. They were hungry. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, I'm seeing the attitude of Jonah here in this moment. You know, so I'll continue on with that. But he said, see, it was their lack of understanding and knowing the Word of God that they were missing something. So he's trying to instruct them. You know, Jesus didn't hate the Pharisees and Sadducees. He loved them, the lawyers, the political leaders. He loved them. He knew they didn't know. You know, so he's inclined to instruct. So he says, have you not read what David did when he became hungry? Him and his companions, how they entered the house of God and they ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for him, but ate, nor for those with him, his partners, his people that were with him, they ate as well. But the priests alone, they were the only ones that were allowed to eat the sacred bread. Or have you not read in the law that in the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? They prepare things on the Sabbath day. They are working in the Sabbath. And why aren't these two things the same? So what is exactly wrong here that it's okay to do this, but it's not okay to do this? They're both working. Well, there's provision here for this. But if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not sacrifice. Now, everything I'm talking about here in Matthew 12 is going to relate to Jonah's life. Jonah didn't have the kind of compassion in his heart that he really needed. So how does Jonah relate to me in the Word of God? Well, do I have enough compassion working in my life that I'm going to look upon the people that I work with, that I'm going to look upon my neighbors who I'm with, the people that I associate with outside. Oh, y'all are easy to love. You know, until you're not. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we get out there, right? We get out there in the world and people just be ugly to you. Like the Assyrians. But it wasn't okay for Jonah to have the attitude he had. So let's continue on. So this is one instance where he brings up the idea, I would rather have you have compassion in your heart. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I'm sorry. He qualifies this. Departing from there, he went to the synagogues. And a man, just got ahead of myself. And a man was there with a withered hand. And Jesus asked the question, is it lawful to heal on Sabbath? So he's about ready to break another law again. And we've heard this preached, and it's preached in different ways, and that's okay. What I'm pointing out is, well, these guys didn't have much compassion. They're finger pointers. They didn't. What about this man with the withered hand? We're going to find at the very end of Jonah that God cares about people. And so, yeah, when that's the compassion is the urgency to go up that rises above this finger-pointing law that they're about ready to share. That they might accuse him. If he says yes, then he's guilty. He can't be the Son of God. He can't be the Son of David. And he said to them, what man is among you? This is going to come up in Jonah. Who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? And you might have heard me say that before. Should we have as much compassion for our dog as our neighbor? Well, please, love your dog. That's important. But really, we have to judge ourselves. For our bunny rabbit, for our hamster, that we care so much for it, but our neighbor, they can just, you know, go, whatever you're thinking. You know, no. It's not. It shouldn't be that way. And he was directing this at them. They had to judge themselves based on this word. And every time I see the things in the Word of God, I have to judge myself. I'm not preaching any condemnation here. It's just we have to judge ourselves in the Word of God. When we begin to look at Psalm 119, as Pastor Bill continues in this, we're applying it to our own life. You know? How much more valuable then? God is qualifying the value of his creation. Is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to show compassion, to show mercy. It is. Well, we never heard that preaching before. He came with power. He preached with conviction. Then he said, stretch out your hand. Okay, there's a miracle there. All right, we agree with that. That's a miracle. He stretched out his withered. That was a sign of who he was. He said that himself. John said, sent some disciples. Are you the one, or should we look for another? And then he said, go tell him what you see, the signs. You know. And it was restored. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him. After a miracle, after him teaching, after him showing compassion towards them, began to conspire. And then as we go down here to verse 18, it says, he's quoting from Isaiah. Pastor Bill covered this as we went through Isaiah for a good while. Isaiah constantly spoke of the Messiah. He says, behold, my servant whom I've chosen. And the only reason, I wouldn't even cover this, except you're going to see something here that's relative to Jonah. Behold, my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. And he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Pastor Bill made a point of that every time as we went through Isaiah, that God cares for the Gentiles. He's the Lord of all his creation. So he says, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off. A smoldering... He's not going to break off. Can you imagine this leaf holding on to your salvation. I'm not letting go of this. I'm not letting go of this love and this salvation for the people. He was not going to give up in his determination to do all the will of God, even to the cross. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to give in to the pain. I'm not going to give in to the persecutions, to the hurling of insults, to the tearing out of my beard. I'm not going to give it up because it's for you. It's for me. You know, and I thank him for that. A smoldering wick, he'll not be put out. He was the light of the world. A great light has come forth. We are light. He lightens us. A smoldering wick, he will not go out. Until he leads justice to victory. That's what he did on the cross. And his name, the Gentiles will hope. Then it goes on as there's a demon-possessed man comes in. Blind and mute, brought to Jesus, he healed him. Another miracle. Let's keep moving down. And he talks about a house divided against itself. You did that by Beelzebub. And he talks about a divided house. Now, I know that we have heard these teachings about divided house. But let me tie that in with the idea of being double-minded. This house, is this house divided? One foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God? Is our house divided? Oh, we all the way sold out to Jesus. And that's what we're looking at? This is the thing that is speaking to me? You know, relative to this. A divided house cannot stand. He's going to bring another illustration. There's a train of spiritual thought that continues to come on. If by Beelzebub I cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they'll be your judges. This thought is going to continue. The unpardonable sin, as we continue in verse 30, Brother Shane had brought this up. Blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. Speak what you want against me, Jesus. Don't talk against the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven him, but not against the Holy Ghost. Verse 33 says, either make the tree good. See, continuous thought. The tree good and its fruit good. What about the shaping of this prophet that we're talking about? He's pruning this prophet. Fruitfulness in his life, just like in our lives. Fruitfulness. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. So this is going to continue to happen in the Holy Spirit. And he calls them brood of vipers. Let's just jump down to verse 38 because this is where we're going to depart now. And we're going to go back to Jonah and look at this. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. He cast out a devil. Made the dumb man speak. Withered hand came out. And yet they didn't see a sign. Well, the sign that they wanted wasn't a sign. Out of the evil intentions of the heart come forth that which is evil. What sign did they want? Kill all these Romans and put us in charge of the kingdom. That's what they wanted. That's the sign they wanted. It wasn't to see the bread being divvied out to 4,000 and then 7,000, it didn't impress them at all because it didn't put them in charge. We probably have some of those things happening in Washington right now. Certain people don't get credit for certain advances that we're making, and they're mad. Out of the evil treasures comes forth that which is evil. Out of the good treasure of the heart comes forth that which is good. There's some things happening in Jonah's life. He preached under the anointing of a prophet. And then we're going to see what happens to him. I'm not saying the anointing is lifted from him because that's not the way it is. They don't just carry it around with them. They're just people. Elijah was a man just like you and I. That's what James says. So look where he goes. An evil and adulterous generation crave for a sign. That's what I was referring to. And yet no sign will be given but that was of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There's your veneration of Jonah by the Lord Jesus himself. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a made-up story. It was the real deal. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Don't forget that thought. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. That thought's going to continue. We're going to hop to Jonah now. Let's go to Jonah chapter 3. Talks about Solomon and all his glory. Something greater than Solomon is here. Let's look at, keep our eyes on Jesus. He's greater. He's greater. So, Jonah 3. We left Jonah. Let me start with verse 8 of chapter 2. Though he's praying, he's down in the belly of the whale. The fish, he got eaten. He got snatched out of the water like I'm thinking of a lure. You cast the lure out and you're reeling it in. And all of a sudden, kabloosh, it just disappears. Brother Steve and I were in canoes already. And we found this lake up in north. Where are we at? Ricketts Glen. Thank you, brother. I almost forgot the name of the place. And we were talking to some of the locals, and they told us about this secret place. It's fun when you can go to a secret place. And that first time we went there, Steve, it just, the water erupted when this fish came up and just, it destroyed our lures, didn't it, Steve? They were just hitting, and there was teeth marks and everything. Well, this fish didn't bite Jonah in half. All right. He just swallowed him. I've cut fish open before and found whole things inside a fish's stomach. You know, sometimes they were in there a little bit. And just like your stomach, you have acid in your stomach and it breaks down whatever you swallow, turns all white from the acid. Pretty, you know, gruesome. Aren't you glad we're not having lunch? Thank you for that reminder. Lunch has been postponed to another time. If anybody plans on staying, I'm sorry. You know, we're not going to have that today. Miss Donna asked me to mention that, and it's like I forgot until I thought about all this nastiness in the stomach of the fish, you see. Well, don't lose that humor, because what do you think Jonah looked like when he came out of that fish after 3 days? Maybe he was assigned to the Ninevites. Whoa! Maybe his skin was bleached. We don't know. There's been some commentary and speculation on why did anybody even listen to his rantings. So we'll go on here, verse 8, chapter 2. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. His mind was changed when he was in the belly of that fish. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. I see another hole in Scripture. I see that from time to time. I don't know why I'm attracted to that. He's on the western shore of Assyria. Nineveh's over here. So he had some time to think about it as he was walking across, right? I'm just saying. Does that mean anything? No. But sometimes we just like this, to this, to this, to this. Read the Scripture with imagination and realize that he's telling his story. But that part of the story isn't that important. God could easily have transported him right to there, you know, but he had time to think about his life and what he's been going through. So we'll look at it. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad God doesn't give you one chance? Thank God, right? It says the second time, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Go again. The same go that Jesus said, go into all the world. I'm saying with the same intensity and determination and deliberation to go, that's for us too. So we judge ourselves. How are we going? What way are we going? You know, that doesn't mean you're all called to go to Iceland and Antarctica, you know, Hawaii. You take the opportunities. You are a witness for the Lord, and you take these opportunities, and in whatever presents itself, you have an opportunity to share the Lord. The great salvation. So Jonah rose, went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' walk. Yeah, I'm not going to throw the numbers out at you. How many miles and square footage? That bores me too. It was an exceeding great city. That's enough to know. It took him a while to get across the city. He's preaching as he goes, just like you do, place to place. Opportunity comes up. You get to pray for people. You get to share the word with people. What if you don't? I'm no condemnation. I'm just saying, are you hearing the word of the Lord to you? Is go really mean go in your heart? You know, I'm just throwing that out. Because I judge myself. I'm talking to myself too. We need to be carriers of the gospel. As though God was entreating Corinthians is the word. As though God was entreating through you to them. That's what our commission is. We're ambassadors. So he arose, he went. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was it? That was all he preached? Well, that's all it says. But we're going to see something later here that's going to mean he said a lot more than that. He preached against sin, against idols, against their behavior and how they handled one another and others and foreigners and such. It's going to tell us that in vague way. Then the people of Nineveh believed God. Which God? The one he was preaching. The real one. Remember the ship? Every man pray to your God. That's like a little recap of the first chapter. Pray to your God. At the end, Lord, don't hold this blood guiltiness against us. They picked Noah up, threw him over. Sacrifice. He said it. Throw me over. It'll become calm. I had a funny thought. I know it's not relevant, but can I get a refund? He paid his fare. Never mind. Threw him over. He, at his own request. And the sea became calm, and immediately they knew that God, the guy that they threw over the edge of the boat, belonged to the living God. And I believe there was repentance on that ship too. So let's move forward. From the least to the greatest of them, they were in sackcloth. Oh, verse 5. Then the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called a fast. But put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The nobles, the congressmen, the senators, all these people, to the least, the herders, the farmers. This is what they were doing. They began to believe the word that he was saying. And I'm going to get to what I had said earlier. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, I was doing some research on who this king was, but you know what? That's not important. He was the king. He arose from his throne, laid down his robe from him, covered himself with the same thing the people were covered with. Sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and issued a proclamation, because he's the king, he could do this. And it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and the nobles, do not let a man, beast, herd, flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both men and beasts must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly. Now here it is, right here, the little thing that, how did he know to do this? Because of what Jonah was preaching.
Yes.
Turn from his wicked ways. How would he know to do that? Unless he was told he has to do that. Turn from your wicked ways, from the violence which is in your hands. Who knows? Who knows? He didn't know, but Jonah knew. We're going to see that. Let me pray for you. Who knows? I know. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, we know. We know the outcome of being close to God. The outcome is you're going to be blessed. The outcome is mercy and compassion is going to be moved. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, they turned from their wicked ways. Then God, if you turn from your wicked ways, now, I know we don't like, I don't want to hear the gloom and doom stuff. Let me be so bold to say, I think there's false prophets out there that have read enough of the word of God to know that if men continue to sin, then there's going to be judgment. Okay, hello, we know that. But that is really true. They are doom and gloom and spread. We need to spread the gospel of good news. People need to know what to do. Turn from this. You know, turn from your wickedness. Turn from drugs. Your idol, whatever that is to you. Turn away from it. Turn to God. Let him be the source. Turn from it. Turn. He didn't know unless he was told. And he will relent concerning the calamity. This nation could be facing calamity if they don't turn. That's just the way it is. The wages of sin is death. It's not going to be, oh, America the Great, America the Beautiful, you're exempt from this. Huh. But we need to continue to pray. I say that all the time. We need to continue to intercede. Lord, we repent from this. Read Nehemiah 9, Daniel 9, Ezra 9, the three great ninth chapters of the Bible. They all contain the repentance to change a nation. We repent before the Lord of the wickedness in this nation. We intercede before the Lord for the wickedness in this nation. They would not bring this calamity upon them. And he did not do it. God did not do it. But it greatly displeased Jonah. Now here's Mr. Attitude here. You would think that that experience in his belly and everything that had happened up to this point. How long is this going to take? We read it, 40 days. Yet 40 days. So he was hanging out here for a little over a month. Right? 5 weeks? He was going to be here for 5 weeks because he wanted to see what was going to happen. Surely they'll slip and God will get them. He'll change his mind right away. Now we're going to get some of the backstory. Greatly displeased Jonah, he became angry. He has some anger issues, I'm sorry. Some Christians have anger issues. I'm wondering if I do sometimes. Judge myself all the time. What pushes your button? You know, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's something else. Lay it before the Lord. Unplug that button. He prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall, I fled to Tarshish. It's almost like saying, it's your fault, God, that I left and was going to Tarshish. Remember, we said Tarshish, he was headed 1,500 miles away. He was going a boat Thank God it wasn't a high-speed boat, but I guarantee you it wouldn't matter because you're not getting away from God. You're not getting away from God. You're not getting away from God. You're not. Where are you going to go to flee his presence? Nowhere. This is what I told you. I knew how gracious you were. I knew how compassionate you were. Jonah knew something about God. Slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. You know, I made a statement last week about at what point, it doesn't say, so I haven't come to a conclusion. At what, and I don't think it matters either. At what point in Jonah's ministry as a prophet do you think this happened to him? Because he was having success in, according to the prophetic word in 2 Kings 14, the word of the Lord came to pass in Jeroboam II's life, where much of the border of Israel was restored, according to the word of Jonah, son of Amittai of Gath-Hepher. That's what it says. So he was having some success. But was that before or after he visited? We don't know. But based on the fact that he knew God in this way, and judgment came to him so quickly, I'm concluding that it's possible that it was later in his ministry. And he wasn't finished yet. Because it wasn't like the young prophet who also knew God that went up to Samaria to prophesy against it. The Lord said, don't eat, don't drink, go up, prophesy, come back. A different route. And he didn't listen. And an old prophet tricked him, told him, oh, no, said, God told me. And he said, no, the word of the Lord to me was this. And he hasn't told me anything different. And then just walked away. So he listened to the prophet. He went back and eaten. Judgment came to him immediately. So the knowledge of God, understanding God, you know, you can be in a dangerous place when you get out of the will of God in those kinds of cases. Men of maturity should beware. Oh, you've had your life filled with the experience of God in your life and the preaching and the wonders and the signs and you got to see it all. Now you think you can just kick back and slide your foot back in the world again. No, you can't. You might be surprised what happens to you. And it doesn't have to. You can just cleave to God and hold fast and not let that light go out. Not let that break. As we were seeing with Jesus, he was a flax that wouldn't break. He won't let loose. Won't let loose of my salvation. I won't let loose of my calling. I'll just keep moving forward. He was slow, compassionate God, slow to anger, loving kindness. And the one who relents calamity to see calamity. I think he was prophesying from that kind of statement in Israel. And he saw God relent somewhat in Israel. So that's why I'm bringing that up. And now it goes on to say, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life, for death is better than life. I'm not really sure where this kind of attitude comes from. You know, maybe you have some thoughts on that, but, you know, not much is really coming to me about that. You just preached to Nineveh. You just were saved through a miraculous means. Whether you think Jonah died in the belly of the fish or not, it really doesn't matter that much. It was a miracle. It was a miracle to survive for 3 days in that fish. And if you believe that when he was heaved up onto the shore that God raised him from the dead, like Jesus was talking about for 3 days and three nights, you'll be in the belly, I'll be in the earth, in the belly of the earth. You know, and the relationship of that figurative, literal, doesn't matter. He saw a miracle. And he's moving forward, but he says, all these works that I was doing, I just feel like dying. I'm not sure I get that. But anyway, maybe you have some thoughts on that. The Lord said, do you have a good reason to be angry? He's not done with that thought yet. Then Jonah went out from the city, east of it. There he made a shelter for himself. Take note of this. He made a shelter for himself. And he sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. I'm not going to leave just yet. Let me just see what God's going to do here. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. When I read that, something came to me right away. Somehow, what he built for himself and for his life didn't satisfy him enough. But when God put something in his life, he was greatly pleased. God may do something in your life. All of God's blessings towards you and in your life are doing you good. But maybe the things that you try to build in your life, they might not go far enough. You might get tired of them, but you won't get tired of what God puts in your life. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. He loved what, I love what God does in my life. That new song that we're doing about God being so good. We were just singing it a second ago. You're faithful to me, Lord. You're a blessing in my life. You're moving me on. But God appointed a worm. Let's keep moving with this. God appointed a worm. When dawn came the next day, it attacked the plant. Ooh. Remember that, Dave? We did the play Jonah, and the plant came down. That was so funny. Very cool. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind. Okay, the plant dies. Sometimes blessing comes in your life. It's just for a season and moves on. That's just it. Well, I used to. We used to what? You're not what you are because of that blessing. Either the tree is good or it's not good. So we keep moving forward. Fruit is growing in your life. Lord, more fruit. Yes. Discipline yourself. You discipline yourself and more fruit comes. You continue to read the word. Put the seed in your heart. And you begin to agree with the seed, like we're reading in Psalm 119. You begin to agree with that good word that's coming forth. More fruit comes in your life. It attacked. The plant withered. The scorching wind came. The sun beat down on Jonah's head, so he became faint and begged with all his soul to die. Here's that attitude again. Pharisee attitude, right? Sadducee attitude. The things that God does are good. You don't like it. I don't like it when you heal a withered hand on a Sabbath day. I don't like, you know, this is what I was seeing as a relationship between. Death is better than life, he says in verse 8. Then God said to Jonah, here we go. Do you have a reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have a good reason to be angry. Really, I can't wait to hear this. I have a good reason to be angry. You never have a good reason to be angry. You never have a good reason to have your own opinion about anything. I'm sorry, right? I know Pastor Bill preaches this all the time. I'm just trailing right on the coattail there. We just don't. See, Jesus was doing the will of the Father. They were doing what they thought it was supposed to be. They were following the law, but they were putting their own spin on it. The law without compassion, it doesn't produce fruit. I have a good reason to be angry, even unto death. I'm that mad I could just die. I could just fall out. Really? Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work for, which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I have not compassion on Nineveh, the great city, which are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and their left hand, as many as the animals. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. They don't even know. You can get this religious spirit on you, and you don't even know that religious spirit is there. If you've been around it, you can smell it. you know, sometimes you get close to it and you can feel it. You can smell it. But they don't know. They don't understand. They just don't understand. But is compassion working in our life? I suspect that if he knew God was compassionate, but are you compassionate? You know, am I compassionate? This goes to me too, you know. That's how I have to be. So I'm feeding off this. I'm understanding because, see, I work at a place. And not all those people are lovely like you. I know Marie works in the Christian school here. They're not all lovely like the people in the Christian school, right? And you can smell the religious spirit sometimes. But anyway, God wants us to have compassion. He wanted to bring joy. That's where it ends. It ends like, is there going to be a sequel to this? It ends with your expectation that, did he learn his lesson? I don't know. We hope so. Did I learn a lesson? I hope so. I hope I learned that as, am I going to be a good tree or a bad tree? Am I full of good fruit? Or out of the evil intentions of the heart, I bring forth that which is evil? No, that's not me. The scripture also talks about, in James, it talks about out of a spring shouldn't be bitter water and sweet. So we're learning to bring forth sweet water so that people taste and see that the Lord is good. We want to be a blessing. You know, we want to reach out. We want to see that people aren't following God. They have idols before them. They're serving other gods. You know, so these opportunities come. We need to be led by the Spirit. We don't beat people into the kingdom of God. That doesn't work. So I'm just encouraging you in this. We took just a different focus on this, you know, than the fact that 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, Jesus was an example of that. It was an example of resurrection, one of the very pillars of your life. Resurrection is a pillar of your life. Jesus rose from the dead. When the Apostle Paul talks about that as well, resurrection, that's an important subject. So that's to learn here. Compassions are to learn here. Attitudes are to learn here. Not to have an angry spirit or religious smelly spirit.